All right, here we go. Hour number two of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you live from Las Vegas and also live out there in Boston. Josh Applebaum hosting and doing a fabulous job as always. Pleased to be joined by Josh Towers, though, Major League Baseball pitcher and contributor right here at VSiN. Josh, how are you?
Pritch, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for your time, as always. What was here? We got the World Series. Couldn't wait for this to happen. Two teams, I think a lot of people anticipated being here, the two best records in Major League Baseball. But you think about, I call it the David versus Goliath in terms of payroll. Your general thoughts in terms of the matchup?
Usually we don't get this, right? The two best records usually never get to the World Series. So it is kind of neat. Tampa, crazy deserving of this. And of course, LA, I mean, they've been doing it for a while. I'm excited. I've been rooting for the Tampa Bay Rays for a long time, mainly because of their manager, Kevin Cash, and their hitting coach, Chad Mottola, two close, good friends that I played a long time with, man. So I root for those guys, but, you know, have a little ties to when I played with the Dodgers. So for me, this is just a great World Series. I'll say this, man, it's the one thing about the setup of this World Series that favors Tampa a little bit, Pritch, is the fact that there's off days. You know, these guys going in there with only a couple starters, that usually works against you. And it almost got bit by Houston when they had no off days. So they ran out of pitching quick and all these guys were dog tired. And again, it almost bit them in the butt. So the fact that there's off days here, it's going to allow Tampa to be able to use that pitching staff top to bottom. That's the best in the game. So I think there's a huge advantage right there for Tampa.
Josh, this is Josh Applebaum. We spoke before. Great to talk to you again here. I wanted to ask you about tonight's matchup. Obviously, we got Kershaw, Glass now. Dodgers open as a pretty big favorite here, around minus 165, minus 170. We're seeing a little bit of line movement late toward Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is now open around plus 155, down around plus 152. So a little bit of movement here. I want to ask you, number one, thoughts on tonight's game, but moreover, what's the deal with Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs? I mean, we all know the story, but regular season, he's 175-76, 2.43 ERA. Get to the postseason though, 11-12, 4.70 ERA. So what does Kershaw need to do to give them a 1-0 series lead tonight? And what's your prospects on the first game tonight?
You know, Clayton Kershaw's stats in the postseason are a full season for most of us in our careers with 34 starts. I love it. I love the fact that people knock him. I mean, we gotta factor in a couple of those starts where Houston cheated. So you kind of like, you know, you throw those out the window. This year when there's, you know, been no talks of it, he's actually done really well. So, you know, he's shown that he actually can pitch in the postseason, that he's really, really good. I just don't think that people give these guys enough respect at times. I mean, I understand how good he is in the regular season in his career, but so are a lot of these guys. I mean, look at a lot of these hitters that are really good in the regular season that can't hit a lick in the postseason. So we see it a lot. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, it's just different. And the other thing is when you take these starters like they did to Clayton last year and they put him in the bullpen, don't factor that in either, because starters shouldn't be pitching in the bullpen, and he's never really done that with any consistency in his career. It's a very difficult thing to do. So his postseason numbers, I think, are skewed a little bit. I think Clayton's showing us that, you know, he's just as good in the postseason. And I think he'll be pretty good tonight. This team strikes out a lot, Tampa Bay, and I think we'll see a lot of those curveballs bounce. I think we'll see a lot of changeups down in the zone for Clayton. So I think that he'll do well. This is a game where the Dodgers should probably have a little bit of an advantage. Blake Snell can be the most dominant guy in baseball, but he really hasn't been that lately to me. So it really depends on what Blake Snell we get. And Tampa hasn't really been letting him get into trouble either. I mean, the first sign of adversity, fourth inning, fifth inning, whatever, they pull him. So I hope that Snell's on his game, because I want to see a good pitching matchup. The Dodgers should be favored, but I'd put my money on Tampa.
Speaking with Josh Towers, former Major League Baseball pitcher and contributor to VSiN. Josh, this game, to follow up with Josh Applebaum, this game with the Dodgers minus 165, that total 7.5. The approach by Glasnow as a pitcher, when you know you throw 95 plus, but yet you can deliver that curveball that's sick up there to a hitter. I mean, what would be his approach to this lineup, this deadly lineup from the Dodgers?
And I apologize because I said Blake Snell because I was looking at tomorrow's game, and I apologize. I knew Tyler's pitching tonight. Mm-hmm. Listen, his confidence has been the one thing that I've been the most impressed with. His stuff is just next level. We know that. And, you know, I thought they got a steal from him when they traded for him. He's starting to, and Tampa's starting to play the last couple of years more meaningful baseball games like the Dodgers. So they're not just going through a regular schedule and then the season's over. Every time that, you know, people have played Tampa the last 2 years, it's because they're in first place and because they're a playoff team and you're getting the best version. And so Tyler has, he's seen things that Clayton Kershaw has been seeing for a long time. And I think that we've seen growth in him. He understands the way he's supposed to pitch with his stuff. And I think that he attacks it that way a lot. But when it's not there and there's a separation, he's able to go to a different style. He's able to go to his changeup if he wants to. So I like what Tyler Glasnow's been doing. You know, he has the most strikeouts, I think, this postseason out of anybody because his stuff is just that electric. The Dodgers have to be patient. Offensively, they have got to be patient. And neither one of these teams have really shown life for that, to be honest with you guys. So if the hitters are a little bit aggressive and the hitters are chasing a little bit, that I think that Clayton Kershaw and Tyler Glasnow are going to get a lot of swings on misses up and then bounce balls in the dirt. So again, for the Dodgers to be successful, they're going to have to be patient in the box. But with the growth of Tyler Glasnow, if the Dodgers are being patient and they're not swinging up, I think that he has the ability to come back. I mean, I've just been impressed with him, man. I got to be honest.
And Josh, yeah, talking about the total tonight, I wonder if you had a lean either way, over or under, because I've seen some under money hit the market here. The total opened at 8. You had a lot of sharps immediately hit the under 8. Even that, now that it's down at 7.5, you're still seeing 7.5 under -115. So a lot of liability still here to the under. You also look in the playoffs. Tampa Bay is 9-5 to the under. Dodgers are 6-6. But we also see some liability within a lower scoring game. Do you see with this matchup, Glasnow, Kershaw, two really good bullpens? How does it match up? And do you like that under smart money, or is the total so low you're rooting for eight runs or more?
It's such a tough one. I mean, I think the number's pretty good. I would favor the over in this particular game. I mean, again, we've seen Clayton give up some runs. And we know Tampa Bay can hit home runs. I think like, 85-90% of the runs come on home runs anyways. The one thing that you guys got to factor in the most is where this game's being played. And the ball jumps there. And that, I mean, it's just a high-scoring field. And so for whatever reason, it seems like when you're on the field, it plays big, but it doesn't. The ball jumps. And so if these guys are up and if Tampa's hitting home runs, I can easily see this going over today.
Yeah, Josh, also, when you think about that lineup from the Dodgers, we know what that is. TBD right now for the Rays in terms of their lineup. But Bellinger and that shoulder. How about that? I know, right? Bellinger with that shoulder. Real quick on that situation. I believe it popped out, but yet somebody popped it back in. He says he's good to go.
I think he'll be good. I watched that happen. I thought it was the weirdest thing when he was shaking the second person's hand and he spun off of him. And I was like, man, that was really weird. Like it just stood out right away. And so to see that he popped his shoulder out on the first transaction, I thought was crazy, but yeah, it's not, I mean, I've done that before. I've dislocated that collarbone. I've popped the shoulder out the way he did it. It, you know, it'll be sore for a couple hours, but I don't think that's going to affect him. The one thing that is affecting him is how bad he's hitting. And I was shocked to see the break. Stick to the analytics of this is how you get Cody Bellinger out when he was struggling as bad as he was and he couldn't. I mean, he's falling off out and around backwards, couldn't hit anything unless it was up and in. And it would just, I mean, it was the weirdest thing that Atlanta actually kept pitching to what the analytics said when you have to factor in human element. So I was shocked that Tampa Bay won't do that. Tampa Bay, yes, they know the numbers and they know the stats, but they also watch the baseball game and they make adjustments within. So I don't think that one home run, although it's such a big home run, I don't think it's enough to lock Bellinger back in. I think he's still going to struggle a little bit.
Josh, I wanted to ask you possibly your pick for World Series MVP or maybe some players that you have your eyes on. Just a quick list here. Mookie Betts is the favorite to win World Series MVP, +500. Seager, who I'm interested in, +750. Arozarena, the Phenom, +800. Bellinger, Glasnow, 10-1. Turner 11-1. Any names that jump out to you? Any guys that you have your eye on? Who should we be looking at for World Series MVP?
Well, it's not going to be Randy Arozarena. He's already got that out of the way, and I think with all the hype, we're going to actually see him struggle a little bit. I don't want to see that, but I think that's usually what happens when you catch hype like this. Mookie Betts is too much of an obvious play. I would like to pick a pitcher, to be honest with you, but the fact that they don't let these guys go deep, it's tough. I mean, if we were seeing these starters like Glasnow and Kershaw go seven innings, then I can easily see Tyler Glasnow going 2-0 and winning the MVP, but that's going to be tough as well. It's such a tough one to pick because, like, if you look at Tampa Bay's lineup, Cash moves that lineup around so much. The guy who might be leading off today could be hitting seventh tomorrow. He's not afraid to, you know, pull somebody out in the middle of the game to put somebody. He plays matchups so much that you would need a Randy Arozarena to go off like he did. And then is Corey Seager on the flip side going to be able to continue what he did? Because that was impressive. Honestly, man, I would favor a pitcher. You got some good numbers on pitchers over there?
Kershaw 15-1, Buehler 18-1, Snell 25-1. Yeah, you got a couple of these starters. And again, what's Glasnow 10-1.
10-1.
Wow. That's what you get for pitching game one, huh?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I think if Tyler Glasnow goes five innings tonight and they use the bullpen, we might see Blake Snell go six or seven. And if Snell can do that and dominate, he's going to get two starts. I don't mind Blake Snell at his price.
Okay. Josh, I was going to ask you about that bullpen situation for both teams because it plays into the series finish for me. Dodgers win if they sweep, they're plus 800. If they win in five, plus 400. Dodgers win in six, plus 350. If the Rays sweep, they're 22-1. And certainly if they win in five games, 11-1.
There's going to be no sweeping going on this.
Okay.
If you're going to Tampa Bay's pitching's too awesome. Trying to get away from those dogs. Tampa Bay's pitching's too awesome. And, the starters are so good, and I know they're only running with really three of them, but everybody in the bullpen, that's the difference. Kevin Cash uses the entire team. He does not mess around. Everybody from Aaron Loop on down gets to be used the exact same, and I don't think people understand the importance of that. On how now I can pitch any one of these guys in the fifth all the way through the ninth because I've proven trust and consistency in them. And the Dodgers were forced to do that, but they haven't done it quite as much. They kind of have their core guys that they go to, and then, oh, shoot, we're back against the wall. We got to throw you in, and I don't get the best version of you. So Tampa Bay's pitching is so good that I think it's going to be virtually impossible to sweep them. I mean, this is going to go down to six games. I mean, like, listen, Walker Buehler hasn't been his best, but we know he can be great. Clayton Kershaw has been very good, and we know that, but he can also be bad. And this is the same thing for those other guys. Look what Charlie Morton's been doing. He's been amazing, and this might be Morton's last year. So, he's playing for a lot as well. I see this series really, I think it's more in the six-game series.
Josh, we got a couple of minutes left here, so let's get down to brass tacks. Who do you have winning this series? And with a caveat, what needs to happen for the Rays to win? What needs to happen for the Dodgers to win?
Tampa Bay needs to stop striking out so much. But I had Tampa Bay winning this series the entire time. When I filled out my bracket, I've always had Tampa winning, and that's knowing that the Dodgers were in there. So I'm not. I have no reason to back off of thinking that Tampa Bay Rays are going to win the World Series. Again, they're playing the Dodgers who have a lot of experience in a pretty good team. So Tampa Bay is going to have to stop striking out so much, and they're going to have to figure out how to score without having to hit the home run. I mean, again, all their runs are coming off home runs, and that's just not going to get it done. These guys are good on the other side. So Tampa Bay is going to have to start using the other side of the field, driving in some runs, maybe like they did the other day, manufacture some runs. And it's the same thing with the Dodgers. I mean, this team's good, but again, you can't rely on the home run like we're doing. You're not going to get pinch hit home runs from Keiki Fernandez every time. You're not going to have guys like Martin make a mistake to Cody Bellinger. That should never happen. You're not going to get that. You got better pitching on the other side. So I think it's honestly going to come down to who's willing to sacrifice themselves for the sake of the team. Is it about me or is it about the team? Is it about me or is it about us winning the World Series? Do I want to be the hero and, like we just talked about, win the MVP? or am I okay with the guy behind me winning the MVP because I moved the guy over and let him drive himself in? I think the Dodgers still feel the pressure of being as good as they've been for as long as they've been and getting to the World Series and, you know, just not really working out. So I think they feel that pressure. And I think Tampa Bay's playing on house money. I think Kevin Cash has built a fantastic team. The things that I've been saying about this team for so long is you don't have to know somebody's name for them to be good. But in society, none of us know Tampa Bay's players' name. So how can they be as good as Mookie Betts? We all know Mookie's name, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the reality. And they understand that, Chris, Josh. They understand that at a clubhouse. They talked about that. They said it in the interview on the field the other day.
So
you may not know our names, but we're still pretty good. So I think Tampa Bay is the favorite in the series for sure.
All right. I love it. Josh Towers, former Major League Baseball pitcher and contributor right here at VSiN. Great stuff, Josh. That was awesome. Coming up next, we're going to get back to college football. There was a cancellation in a conference. We have to give you that information. That's next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. Josh, we got a tweet. Brett McMurphy talks about Saturday's matchup between New Mexico and Colorado State. Game has been canceled due to COVID. This is a conference in which they're not the Power Five. They don't have those budgets, and they're stretched. So I can see, okay, you're going to err on the side of caution here when it comes to New Mexico and CSU.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to see. Obviously, you have one fewer game to bet on here. Hope the COVID, you know, kind of dissipates here and we can get back to playing football games. You know, one thing I would mention here, Pritch, in terms of the Mountain West, I would love to get your take. Utah State and Boise State. So here's a game. This is Saturday night, 7 o'clock, very heavily bet game. That's going to get kind of a primetime time slot here. I'm seeing a ton of smart money come in here on Boise State laying the wood with a big favorite, which is interesting to me because usually in these conference games, you look toward a kind of a contrarian dog that is getting, you know, a line move in their favor. But this is really chalk becoming more chalk because Boise State at home, they open at around a, depending on where you're looking, some shops open around minus 14, minus 15. This line is now up to all the way to minus 16 and a half, minus 17 with Boise State. So they're at home. You actually, this is kind of a fade the trendy dog with a slight majority of bets grabbing Utah State and the points, yet the line is moving further and further to Boise. Also could be weather. You know, we talked about weather in the NFL a couple segments ago. It's going to be about 15 mile an hour winds at Albertson Stadium with the blue turf. So keep an eye to the under. That's around 55 down to 53 and a half at this point. But Pritch, any reason, you know, what's your take on Boise? You know, they've kind of become a trendy team over the years. But why do you think maybe sharps are laying the wood there, moving that line further to Boise against Utah State?
Well, full disclosure, I used to call games in the Mountain West Conference, so I know all about this conference. And, you know, Boise State, let's start with the stadium, Albertson Stadium. And it's not enclosed. It's wide open. So you're going to feel the winds on the blue turf. You think about Harsin, the head coach up there. He's done a great job of building up that program after Peterson leaves and goes to Washington. So he's got that program going in the right direction, or he has it going in the right direction, and he has for a while. Brett Rippon was from that school. They routinely produce NFL caliber talent. Utah State, to me, with Gary Anderson back as a head coach, they lose Jordan Love, you know, their quarterback. He goes to the National Football League. In fact, he's drafted pretty high to the Packers. So, you know, you wonder about what the Aggies have. First road trip. This is a tough road trip to go to Boise and take on the Broncos there to start your season. So I can see why the sharps are all over that.
Yeah, definitely a tough one to start your season with. And I think the key here, Pritch, is a lot of times when you see a line move toward a favorite, further toward a favorite, mm-hmm. it can be a little dicey because if you don't jump on them early, you're losing a lot of value. And then it becomes an opportunity to actually take the dog with an inflated line. But the reason why I think Boise, to me, is kind of a pure sharp play is that because you have kind of a slight majority of bets there grabbing Utah State in the points. So it's kind of a contrarian favorite reverse line move, which intrigues me a lot with Boise. Pritch, I didn't know you used to call games the Mountain West. Let me throw another one at you.
Yeah.
How about Wyoming and Nevada? I've seen a little smart money come in on this game as well. Mm-hmm. Wyoming's on the road. Nevada's at home. That's another 7 o'clock game here. But this line opened Wyoming, Josh Allen's alma mater. Depending on where you're looking, they were around a 3-point favorite on the road to open. This line is now up to 4 or even 4.5. So we're seeing some respected money early in the week hit Wyoming, laying the number there. Any take on Wyoming, Nevada, or maybe why we're seeing this line move to Wyoming?
You know, Coach Norvell up there in Nevada, I think he's got it situated there. Looking forward to a game between UNLV and the Nevada Wolfpack later on October 31st. So that's for the Cannon, the Fremont Cannon out here for the state of Nevada. But then you think about Craig Bohl, though, head coach out there in Wyoming. Does he have a quarterback? That's always a question because he can coach. Used to be out there in New Mexico, Carson Wentz, and everybody knows those stories. But this is a great coach. It's line 4.5 right there. I would not be surprised if Wyoming kind of dominates. But it is that first game, though. Maybe that's why the line is only at -4.5 for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's a good point, Pritch. And again, remember, when we started college football early in the season here, there's a lot of unknowns. So with these new conferences coming in, playing on the one hand, it's great. We got more games to bet on. On the other hand, if you don't see value and you're worried about not a lot of unknowns and variables, it's okay to lay off these games, focus on the conferences that we do have data on.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those conferences, you know, the tight budgets, the limited coaching staffs, too, because of tight budgets. So I want to get some intel, certainly on the Mountain West Conference. Up next, we're going to get out to the National Football League again because I found some more lines that just don't look right to me. Let's see if I'm right about those. It's coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Are looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any thoroughbred harness or greyhound track out there, check out RTN.tv, the racetrack television network. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And as a special offer for VSIN viewers, use the promo code VSIN in all caps, and you'll get your first 5 days of live streaming and replays for free. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, I'm challenged with the task every week to find some lines that just don't look right to me. I thought I was onto something, but these lines have even moved more since I did my research there, my homework. Let's get out to the Bills on a short week against the Jets. I had them Bills -12.5. I found that line, but JJ just informed me now that line is 13, moving in opposite direction. I thought would happen because of the short week with the Buffalo Bills matching up against the Jets.
Yeah, Pritch, by the way, this is my favorite segment of the week. I love seeing what lines you got some fishy lines. I love it. But yeah, no, this one's crazy. I mean, I think this just speaks to how bad the Jets are and how the Jets are just so untouchable that the odds makers need to just continue to shift this line further and further toward their opponent. Because you got to remember, you know, the goal of a sports book is to ideally in a vacuum entice, put out a number that basically takes in 50-50 betting both sides. That way, no matter what, the books don't stand to lose a lot. They can just rake in the juice and kind of guarantee themselves a little bit of a profit here. That being said, books will kind of take a side if they know and are confident that that's the sharp side in general. But looking at this line, Pritch, to me, this is just the Bills are so bad. The Jets are so bad. This line opened even some books were like 10.5, 11. Line is now up to 13, maybe even 13.5. Again, we talked about it earlier, but in any other year, I would say, man, the Jets have a ton of value. Divisional dog at home, a low total game with a double digit spread. You add all that up, that's pretty good. Just in terms, you cover up the names of the team's historical situation there. But to me, this is just all about how terrible the Jets are and how, you know, again, does this line have to go to 13.5, 14? What number do we get until you finally start to see some Jets money show up? I don't know the answer to that.
Isn't that nuts, the fact that you can't find value at plus 13 on a team? I mean,
no, seriously. Yeah, it's crazy again. And we're key number 14. You know, I guarantee you, if it goes to 14, you'll see some buyback there, okay, just from a numbers perspective. But you're right, Pritch. I think, you know, a lot of my numbers say the Jets are the value play here. But again, how many times can you bang your head against the wall with the Jets,
right,
until you say, I'm just not going to touch this team?
Yeah, plus 14 just on principle right there for me, maybe.
Yeah.
How about the Broncos? Home dog against the Chiefs. Again, Chiefs, because of scheduling or rescheduling on a short week, traveling again. To a place in which, okay, home dog Broncos, you don't think -9. I saw that last night. Was informed by JJ. That line's up to 9.5 now in favor of the Chiefs.
Yeah, I would keep an eye out here for the Broncos. I would hold out for a Broncos plus 10 ticket because you're right. You know, Broncos, they started off 0-3. They won two games in a row. They went to New England, who had all their own problems with the virus and injuries and everything. But as a 7-point dog, they won outright. So Broncos are playing well. This is going to be a big public game for the Chiefs. The Chiefs, you see them, 5-1 straight up, 4-2 ATS. They're an automatic play for the public. But this line did open, depending on where you're looking at. KC was around somewhere -7.5. Some was closer to -9. Either way, this line is now up to 9.5. It could get to 10. And the Broncos would match as a home divisional dog, key number of 10. That's what I would hold out for. So I think there is some value there. And also Chiefs off a short week. So and also the altitude advantage with the Broncos. So that's something I would look out for. If you can get Broncos plus 10, I think that's an appealing number for a lot of wise guys.
I will look out for a plus 10 for sure. Maybe the Le'Veon Bell news, the way that they ran the football too. And then the Broncos, they're getting pressure by blitzing. It's something that Vic Fangio doesn't normally do. But if you blitz Patrick Mahomes, you could be in trouble that way. And you wonder if the Broncos defense can hold up against that passing attack. But maybe the influence of Le'Veon Bell being available to the Chiefs is moving this line as well.
Yeah, that could be part of it. And again, it's kind of a situation where the public still, no matter what, it's an auto Pat Mahomes play, and kind of you still don't believe in Denver just based on the way they've played. But again, 9.5, 10, can the Broncos lose by 9 at home in a divisional game? You also look at the total there, 48.5. It has fallen a little bit to 48. So that would be a divisional under that drops under system match. But I agree with you, Pritch. Denver plus 10. If it gets to 10, I think you'll see some smart money show up on the dog there.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time the Broncos were that big of a dog at home. Plus 10 is crazy to me. They've never been that terrible, I don't think. Not in my lifetime, at least. Let's get to New Orleans, maybe getting a lift. With Michael Thomas, they are now up to -7.5. I saw this line at -7 at home against Carolina. Carolina, I thought, was getting a little bit more respect. Maybe no Christian McCaffrey also influencing this line.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. You know, to me, this is interesting because, you know, depending on where you're looking at the opener, some books were like 7 up to 7.5. Others were 8 down to 7.5. Okay. So it's kind of hard to tell what the true opener for this game was. With that being said, you know, this is going to be most likely a public play to the Saints at home. They would have an edge here, you know, coming off a favorite off a bye week, which historically has done well. Specifically, you'd rather have the favorite off of bye week be on the road. That's really good. That's like almost 70% ATS about the last decade. But Saints would have a rest advantage. The thing that I would look out for, though, Panthers plus 7.5. To me, that's a little intriguing because I think you might see this number. A lot of numbers are plus 7.5, -115 to the Panthers. The line may fall a little bit. Also, that would be another divisional road dog getting about a touchdown historically, especially with the hook. That is a profitable move. And then also, you're looking at Teddy Bridgewater. This crazy stat here, Pritch, but Teddy Bridgewater, when you look at Bridgewater as a dog, he is 20-5 ATS. He covers the number a lot, getting points. So add it all up. You also have a road ref here. You know, leave no stone unturned here, Pritch. The lead ref here is supposed to be Craig Rolstad. He's one of your best road guys, about 58% of the road team ATS. So I'm actually leaning a little bit here toward the Panthers with the hook. If we see that get painted seven, where every book's down at seven, that'll be an indication later in the week that the pros did grab the hook with Carolina.
Well, I'll throw this out there too, Josh. You think about the Carolina Panthers. They're facing an offense that they see all the time. Brady used to work on that staff with Peyton, and then Bridgewater certainly was a quarterback there too. So it's not like it's going to be a difficult task in terms of being familiar with the schemes of the Saints.
That's key. And again, with familiarity, that's the key with these divisional games. You know what to expect, so therefore it benefits that team getting the points.
All right. Coming up next, Josh and I, we're going to talk about the World Series and more in-depth conversation about the World Series. Can't wait for that action later on this evening as we see Tampa Bay versus the LA Dodgers. And then also maybe find some more betting angles as well with college football. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Showtime at BetMGM Sports as baseball fans gear up for the World Series. Register today and win $100 in free bets. Just place a $1 moneyline wager on any World Series game. If any player in the game hits a home run, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up and take advantage of this offer. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if a home run is hit in a World Series game. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. It's a gambling problem. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. The news and notes around college football. We talked about the college cancellation there in the Mountain West, New Mexico, and CSU. But Josh, the World Series game tonight. I can't wait for this to get started. Glasnow is filthy on the bump. And then Kershaw. Can he? I don't think he's got a lot of pressure on him because it's game one, right? If you lose this one, nobody's going to blame you. But Kershaw making that comeback from those back spasms.
You're exactly right, Pritch. And yeah, you know, what's funny is we don't have a lot of action tonight. I think today is a good night, or tonight is a good night to kind of prep, do your homework, really look at these lines as we're seeing them move in the NFL and college football. But the one game we have to get down on here is World Series game one. So right off the bat, because it's the only game in town for action tonight, it's going to be a really, really high ticket count. Okay. Unfortunately, high ticket count games, you know, we look for contrarian opportunities with a lot of public that we can bet against. The funny thing here, you know, we're talking about a Pritch, is the tickets are split right down the middle. I'm seeing equal action on both sides. Public really doesn't know where to go. On the one hand, they really like the Dodgers, but you're laying a big number, and the Rays have been great playing with house money, and they're getting a big payout. What I've seen here, you know, just going into it, Dodgers are a minus 200 favorite to win this series at BetMGM. That's a 67% implied probability that they win the series. Tampa Bay plus 165. We had Josh Towers on saying he liked the Rays to win this series. So if you do, plus 165 for a series price is pretty good overall. But for tonight's game, Glasnow, Kershaw, 8 o'clock game. What I've seen here is, you know, early on, the Dodgers were getting some money because the Dodgers open around minus 165 favorite. They got up to around minus 175. So kind of early morning, late afternoon, Dodgers were on the rise up to minus 175. But in the last probably 2 hours or so, you're starting to see this line creep back down a little bit. So it might be the case where you're seeing some Tampa Bay respected money show up, because this, the Dodgers line is now down minus 160, minus 155 at some shops. I think the Rays, if you had targeted them around plus 160-ish, they're now down to plus 150. in terms of, you know, just World Series trends and everything we've looked at, if you like the Dodgers, you know, one thing you'd look at is World Series favorites over the last decade or so. Favorites in World Series games win about 60% of the time. Mm-hmm. That would be, you know, an edge toward the Dodgers. Favorites in this MLB postseason are 31-16. That's a 66%, you know, win rate overall. And then also Dodgers would be a favorite with a low total. When you're on a favorite, you want a low total because fewer amount of expected runs scored, more likely it's going to be from that better team. And we have seen some under money coming in this game, Pritch, maybe a low scoring game. Total open at 8, public's on the over. It's fallen to 7.5. You're still seeing juiced up under liability here to the under 7.5 minus 120. But yeah, kind of a late move here to Tampa Bay. Let's see if, you know, the sharps are saying, okay, you can take your Rays trendy dog money. I'm going to let it bottom out. Dodgers maybe minus 150, come back the other way. But as of now, a little bit of movement to the Rays.
Yeah, you know, I love the Rays. I do. I don't know if I want to bet them yet. I still have some time, though. I love their path. You know, you get rid of the Yankees. And so are you really going to be phased about the Dodgers? You play the Yankees all the time. And you think about stacked lineups. They feel pretty confident when it comes to their pitching staff and their bullpen. So I think confidence will certainly be on the side of the Rays. They're not going to lack it anyway. Whereas the Dodgers, they're supposed to be here. You know, third time in 4 years. Everybody's had them as a favorite to be in the World Series. They are here. You put Kershaw on the bump to start, though. I'm curious about that move. I know he's got the rest, and I know he's probably ready, and he had the back spasms, but no pressure. I wonder if that's just an indicator of, you know, really not understand or not believing in your staff to point to, okay, we cannot have a drawn-out series. If we get to 7, we're going to be in trouble here. So I think the Dodgers are going to try to jump out over on Tampa Bay and certainly use Kershaw to do that, and also that lineup. See if they can try to get to glass now.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Pritch. And remember, Kershaw's got to be hearing a lot of the noise that is being spoken about, you know, across sports media, how he can't pitch in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And again, we threw the stats out there. He's got a 2.43 ERA in the regular season. He's got a 4.70 ERA in the postseason. So you're up, you know, two and a half full runs almost off of his regular season ERA. One thing I would look at, though, this is, you know, obviously it's a World Series. It's pressure. There will be some fans in the stands there at the Texas Rangers new stadium. But one thing I would look at with Kershaw, maybe this is a good spot for him. Maybe you can buy low on bad news that he doesn't do well in the playoffs. You also look at Tampa Bay. Check this out, Pritch. Tampa Bay against righties this year have killed righties, 38-15. Tampa Bay against lefties, 11-10. So what does that tell you? They're better against righties than they are against lefties. Kershaw, obviously a southpaw tonight. That's a little bit intriguing to me. So if you like kind of laying this number, and again, you would love to get the plus money in a vacuum with the Rays, but maybe in a way Kershaw is actually undervalued tonight going up against a lineup that doesn't struggle against lefties, but isn't as good as they are against righties.
Yeah, I'm locked in either way. When I hit that Y in the road, college football or baseball, I took football. So I was a pitcher growing up. So I'm intrigued about this matchup. Let's get over to the National Football League, because I think you've identified some lines that are pretty attractive to you.
Absolutely. So we talked a little bit earlier this Thursday night game. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, but you did see a big move here toward the New York Giants. So Philadelphia really banged up with injuries. They got two more offensive weapons with Sanders and Ertz both going down with injuries. But the Eagles opened as around a 6.5 or even a 7-point favorite at home Thursday night. We do know Thursday night games, typically the home favorite does well on a short week, just historically. But this movement has all been toward the New York Giants. The New York Giants, +6.5, +7. They're all the way down to +4. There's some 3.5s out there. This has been a massive adjustment to the Giants. It's not a public play to the G-men. Two-thirds of bets are still laying the points with Philly, but yet we've seen this big adjustment toward the Giants. Tells me a lot of smart money came in on the Giants plus the points here. Another one that I wanted to throw at you, Pritch, looking toward the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Vegas Raiders. We've talked about this game a little bit here, but Tampa Bay obviously off a big win. What I like to do is, you know, kind of sell high on teams off a big win, buy low on teams off a bad loss. So Vegas is coming off a bye here. They're well rested, but we've seen a lot of liability here toward Vegas. You know, Tampa Bay off that huge win against the Packers. Now they're going Sunday night primetime at Vegas. You know, Tampa Bay, big public play in a heavily bet game. Raiders right off the bat have a lot of contrarian value here at home in primetime. only getting about a third of bets. But this number was at 3, and it's now down to 2.5. So it tells me that you had some respected money, grab Vegas plus 3, cause that line to fall to 2.5. And then similarly, you look at San Fran and New England. That's another game where public is still kind of leaning Patriots, expecting kind of Belichick to bounce back here and Cam to look better. But New England opened minus 3 at home, even some 3.5s there against San Fran. Jimmy G coming back to Foxborough. Mm-hmm. That line is now down to 2.5. So Pritch, it looks like you have some respected money hitting San Fran at plus 3. Any of those games I mentioned jump out to you? Raiders, San Fran, or the G-Men?
Yeah, they all do. The G-Men maybe playing hard for their new coach, trying to get that victory. They got the taste of victory, right? And so maybe that leads to something. We'll have to wait and see. I think that division stinks, though. but when you think about Tampa Bay and the Las Vegas Raiders, growing up here, Josh, and you know this is a big event city, right? And this game, under normal circumstances, would be off the charts. I'm talking about a convergence of people from around the world would probably come to Vegas for this game. We're talking about Tom Brady and Tampa Bay, the Las Vegas Raiders, Sunday Night Football, the big stage there. But I think this game is going to start to build up even more hype. I'll be curious about the injury report as we get deeper into the week, though, from the Raiders' standpoint. Richie Incognito, for instance, and Ndamukong Suh. I mean, that kind of matchup. And then certainly maybe some more depth for the Raiders might be able to come back to help him out in this game. But this line, I'm keeping an eye on this line all week.
No, absolutely. And that's going to be a primetime game, ton of action. And again, it does seem liability to Vegas. One other game that I want to throw at you, we mentioned a little bit Dallas at the outset of the program today. Big move here to the Washington football team. Dallas opened on the road, pretty much a 3-point favorite. And we've seen throughout the day, I woke up, this line was 2.5, then it was 2, then it was 1. Now it's down to a pick 'em. So you're seeing a flood of respected money come in on the Washington football team. Dallas, obviously, we talked about how dysfunctional they are, both on and off the field. Now questioning their head coach, McCarthy, their 0-6 ATS, which, funny, Pritch, I like actually buying low on these teams that don't cover. But you cannot question this smart money here, especially early in the week. Washington going from plus 3 down to a pick 'em. A lot of money flooding in here on the football team in this 1 o'clock start against the Cowboys.
Yeah, early in the week too. Not hesitating to jump all over that number. I think it's not a good combination when you know you're questioning coaches and you're not playing good football. It probably stinks for the Dallas Cowboys right now.
Absolutely not a good combination whatsoever. Also, one more pitch I'll throw at you. I know we got to get out of here soon. Seattle, Arizona. Seattle off a bye week, rested obviously. But keep an eye on Arizona. This line was 3.5. Heavy betting as of now on Seattle, who has won every game here. But this line has stayed 3.5. A lot of liability. Looks like it may fall to 3. Arizona would be a divisional dog at home, contrarian dog opportunity. And if you start to see that 3.5 fall to 3, that'll be an indication off a big win that the Cardinals plus 3.5. has some value in the eyes of the Sharps.
Yeah, how about that? Value in the eyes of the Sharps, the Cardinals. I wouldn't think that, but playing some solid ball. Defense showed up last night against the Cowboys. That'll do it for us today. Great job, Josh. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Coming up next on VSIN, My Guys in the Desert. It's coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.